It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier, bringing you an hour of sitcoms. Later on, it's Lucille Ball and the program My Favorite Husband, but right now, The Adventures of Topper. Roland Young stars in one of only about four broadcasts to have survived from this summer series. This episode, the last known surviving, from September 6th, 1945, on NBC.
Topper. Oh, Topper.
Oh, Topper, darling. We're back.
Oh, dear. Here we go again.
The Adventures of Topper, starring Roland Young. The Adventures of Topper is a new comedy series based on Thorne Smith's hilarious bestseller and is brought to you by the makers of those bubbly light, crisper cornflakes, Post Toasties.
We toast them crisp, we toast them light, you can tell by the taste, we toast them. They're tasty treats, so good to eat, delicious and light from Toasties. Oh, Toasties.
And you know what? We like them. And now, let's meet Topper.
How do you do? My name is Cosmo Topper. I probably look as if I'm having trouble keeping my spirits up. On the contrary, my trouble is keeping down with my spirits. Spirits I'm referring to, of course, are George and Mary and Kirby, a pair of dizzy ghosts who are driving me crazy. Unfortunately, my wife has a few ideas on that subject, too. And the other morning...
Cosmo. Cosmo, wake up. Breakfast is almost ready.
Kiss me. Just one more kiss, Marion.
Cosmo, you wake up this instant.
Huh? Oh, Malvina. Oh, please, let me sleep just 5 minutes more.
What for?
I've a little unfinished business to attend to.
By no chance were you dreaming of me.
By no chance. I was dreaming about my work. I was staring at figures all night.
Yes, I could guess that. Cosmo Topper, you're the only man who can sleep and pop his eyes at the same time.
Believe me, Belvina, I was working all night.
Cosmo, I heard you in your sleep trying to kiss that blonde fuzzy. Nice work.
Yes, nice work if you can get it. Belvina, doesn't breakfast have an unusually strong smell this morning?
Cosmo, that smell is you. It's a garland of garlic I hung around your neck during the night.
Garlic? Melvina, you often threatened to roast me alive, but I never thought you'd try it.
Oh, don't be silly. And leave that garland where it is. It'll make you a normal person. With this garlic, you'll be on the right track again.
With this garlic, I'll have the train to myself.
You don't understand. Garlic keeps away the evil spirits. And aren't you always complaining that you're haunted by spirits?
Melvina, that's an old superstition about vampires. Besides, Marion Kirby is no vampire. Well, a vampire is someone who grabs you in the dark, clutches you, and... Oh, dear, what am I saying?
Well, we'll put an end to this spirit business once and for all. Every time you do something wrong, you blame it on a couple of ghosts you know. Well, if you are haunted, Raja, the famous mystic, will find them.
My trouble is not finding them, but losing them.
That's exactly why I've made an appointment with the Raja. As soon as you're dressed, we're going right down for a personal interview.
Melvina, you're not serious about this Raja and all that spiritualist humbug. He's probably nothing but an old faker.
Why, that's not true at all. Every night he enters the spirit world.
Probably comes back loaded.
Cosmo, I'll hear no more about it. For months you've been driving me to distraction with all your talk about spirits. Now we'll see whether you were deceiving me or not.
Melvina, listen to me.
Another word. Just get dressed and come right down.
Spiritualist, medium, humbug, chiseling charlatan. Melvina, is that you? Funny, I also heard the door open. Faker couldn't recognize a spirit if he came up and whispered in his ear.
Hello, Topper.
Hiya, Topper.
George, Marion, speak of the devil and...
Cosmo Topper, just because we weren't accepted into heaven, there's no reason to fix our next destination.
You needn't be so sensitive, Marion. I was only...
Hey, what do I smell around here?
Oh, what is that smell?
Oh, that's me.
Well, what's happened to you?
No wonder. Look, he's wearing a wreath of garlic.
I want you to know I'm wearing this especially for you.
Well, if it's for me, I prefer Chanel No. 5.
Yeah, what's the gag, Topper?
No gag. My wife's trying to keep evil spirits away from me.
Have you been keeping bad company again?
Yes, you too. My wife is ready to go to any extremes to make us part company.
Well, we won't let her get away with that.
Well, I'm afraid of, but she's really serious this time. She even wants me to see Roger, the spirit medium. Absurd, isn't it?
Why, Topsy, that's a wonderful idea.
Man, don't tell me you believe in all this rubbish.
Oh, Topper, she's just like all the other women. Always running to fortune tellers, getting a palm read.
This is fantastic. A real spirit believing in all this. Oh, man, there's nothing to these spiritualists at all. What in the world could you want of the Roger?
Well, I'm getting pretty tired hanging around the earth as a low-plane spirit. Maybe the Roger can contact St. Peter for us.
Anyway, you two will ever get through the pearly gates with a Jimmy. Look, man, I refuse to go the Roger with Melvina, and I refuse to go with you. I'm going to stay right here in bed, or I'll know why.
Topsy, dear, if you don't come with us now, I'll scream for Melvina.
All right, I know why.
Say, this is a surprise. But you know, even the most extreme types of people can get together on a subject every once in a while. They may disagree on who's the best pitcher in the National League or whether Jive is here to stay, but hand them each a bowl full of golden brown post toasties, and I'll bet they'll agree right off that the semi flavor is nothing short of wonderful. And it is, too. What's more, every golden flake keeps that grand toasty quality right to the last flavorful bite. With such a really swell dish waiting for you each morning, you'll probably take up singing in the shower. But say, you want to remember that post-toasties are refreshing at lunch and snack time, too. Anytime you want, oh, just something good to eat, have a heaping bowl full of post-toasties. You'll like them.
Well, here we are at the Rogers' home. Cozy-looking place.
Cozy? Looks like a palace.
That must be pretty profitable business contacting spirit.
Now we know how he gets his spirits. The customers walk in and he skins them alive.
Come on, boys. Let's go in.
Oh, I have to remember, you must remain invisible and no tricks.
Hey, get a load of all these doors in the hall, will you?
Wonder which one we enter.
This is certainly very confusing. Topsy, what are all these signs on these doors?
Those are the signs of the zodiac. Let me see. Oh, it's Libra, the scales, Scorpio, Leo, the lion.
This must be the Raja's room. Taurus, the bull.
Oh, let's go into this room with the half moon.
That's not the right room.
Look at all the heavy black velvet hangings on the walls.
Yeah, this place gives me the creeps.
Certainly muffles the noise. You could probably commit a murder here. No one would hear it.
Look, let me out of here.
John, don't be ridiculous. Remember, you're a ghost. What are you afraid of?
Ghosts? They got me.
Stop acting like a baby. This is fun.
I wouldn't stay here for all the tea in China.
You wish to see the Roger?
Looks like the Chinese will do without tea this winter.
Quiet, George. Yes, I wish to see the Roger.
My name is Princess Ali. What is your name?
Ah, nuts.
Is that your first or second name?
My name is Cosmo Topper.
Ah, yes. The Roger is waiting for you. You wish to come with me?
I wish to come with you.
Very well.
Oh.
Follow me.
Topsy, dear, she said follow. Don't trip over her.
Say, Topper, I wonder if that luscious babe is a mind reader.
Obviously not, George. She hasn't slapped your face yet.
Through this door, please. Follow me.
Easy, boys, one at a time. There's the Roger.
George, you ever see such clothes or such a colorful fez?
I don't remember the clothes, but the fez is familiar.
Oh, stop your bad puns and be quiet, you two.
Oh, most exalted Roger, the man you have been awaiting has arrived. This is Cosmo Topper, the banker.
The banker? Ah, yes. Won't you make a deposit, Mr. Won't you deposit yourself, Mr. Topper? Your wife has told me all about you. Oh, and why did you come without Mrs. Topper?
Well, the spirit moved me.
The spirit? Yes. Ah, yes, Mr. Topper. That's why you are here. It is within my power to help you. I bring you the wisdom of the East, the spiritual knowledge of the West, the lore of the North.
This guy is tricking some Dixie.
What did you say, Mr. Topper?
I feel like a pixie.
Princess Arling, you may go now. When I want you, I will clap my hands twice.
Yes, my master.
Hey, we're losing the main attraction.
Let us proceed, Mr. Tapper. First, I must learn how your mind is attuned to the spirit world by feeling the bump on your head.
Did you call, master?
I didn't summon you.
Don't look at me. My hands are in my pocket.
George, stop clapping. This is no striptease.
You may go, Princess.
Oh, heck.
Now, Mr. Tapper, back to the bumps on your head. You may not realize it, but these bumps foretell a man's future. This indicates a man's career. This bump indicates marriage.
I thought the bumps came after marriage.
Now, as I run my fingers through your hair, I want you to relax. Now, relax.
Oh, it feels good.
Now, as I'm exploring your head, what are you thinking of, Mr. Tapper?
Well, it's the best scalp treatment I've ever had.
Now I go to the right, now to the left, now to the right again.
Oh, do it a little more on the left, will you?
Stop the asthma about us.
Papa's getting a massage. I want a manicure.
George, you called me master?
No, Princess, I didn't. But I believe our subject is getting slightly out of hand.
I assure you, Mr. Roger.
You may go, Princess.
Georgie, why don't you just lasso her?
Mr. Tapper, now that we made contact with your thought waves, we must gaze into this crystal ball and search for the spirit.
Mary, you're not so close.
Gaze into the crystal ball. Soon the spirit will be closer.
Closer. Closer.
She's in my lap now.
Describe the spirit who has made contact with you.
Well, she's a blue-eyed blonde, about 5'2", well-built. Well, very well-built. Pretty.
Pretty as the Princess Arling?
Well, no, not quite.
Ouch!
My ankle. Oh, she's much more beautiful than that.
Look closely into the crystal ball. Concentrate and you will see her. Now we'll move on to the other spirit. Are you with me?
No, I'm still concentrating on Marion.
All this malarkey, I'm bored.
Oh, dear.
Did you call, Master?
Mr. Topper, would you please do me one favor? Just one slight favor. Will you sit on your hands? You may go, Princess.
And don't come back!
He can't do this to me. I'll fix his wagon.
Mr. Topper, these distractions have been very upsetting. However, with $100 bill, you can soothe my nerves.
Yes, and who'll soothe my nerves? Sir Roger, I'm enough of this hocus-pocus. What I want...
Hocus-pocus? Are you referring to my spiritual powers as a bag of tricks?
No. Let's call it a bag of wind, shall we?
Enough of this mockery. I will demonstrate the great powers of the East. I will show you the mystery of levitation. Observe. I am rising. Higher.
He's a phony. Look at the wires attached to his belt.
I am still rising.
I'll get a rise out of you. Watch this, Thomas.
Higher. Help, I'm really floating. I'm in the ceiling.
What do you expect for your prices?
We haven't had so much fun since I blew a kite.
George, come down.
Help, I'm floating out of the room. Oh, let me down. Help.
Bye, Roger. Don't forget to write. We can't remain in the Roger's room any longer.
But Topsy, where's George? He hasn't come back yet.
He's still floating around with the Roger, probably.
Yes, me. Floating around with that princess. I don't see her anywhere.
Oh, come on, Marion.
Roger! Oh, Roger! Where are you hiding?
Marion Melvina's here. We're trapped.
Oh, Roger, which door do I use?
See? She made the same mistake I did, Topsy.
Mary, what are we going to do? Melvina will be right in. She expects to find the Roger and will find me instead.
Well, she's been cheated before. Besides, Topsy, why can't she find the Roger here now? Oh, Topper, you'd make a wonderful Roger.
Mary, if you think that I...
darling, all you have to do is wear the Roger's cloak and his turban and she'll never recognize
you. My face? What about my face?
I think it's cute. But you better hide it behind the fan.
Why do I get talked into these things?
There. Darling. Oh, darling, it's amazing how you look in the Roger's odds and ends.
Yes, but I look a little odd where it ends.
Roger! Oh, there you are. Oh, I had a terrible time finding you.
Well...
there should be someone to guide you in here.
Well, My guardian spirit is invisible at the moment.
Oh, Roger, I must apologize for not bringing my husband with me. He ran out on me this morning, and by now it's probably far away.
Not far enough.
Oh, Roger, I don't understand his actions. We've always been so close.
Well, don't worry. You're probably closer than you think.
Topsy, you're in the driver's seat. Give her the word.
What was that you said, Roger?
Why, I just said I'm ready to go to work on you.
Oh, thank you, Roger. You know, in some ways, you remind me of my husband.
I do.
Oh, I suppose it's only natural. I see a bit of Cosmo in everyone. His nose on one person, his eyes on another, and his ears on someone else.
Sounds like he's going to pieces.
You know, you even sound like him.
I do? Yes. Let us explore the mysteries of the East.
But Roger, the spirits I want you to trace are right here in Pleasantville. They're a mad couple who were killed in an automobile accident. George Kirby was a worthless creature, and Marion, well...
I think we should respect the dead. In this case, it would be much safer.
You're darn tootin', brother.
Oh, you have no idea of what an impression Marion made on poor Cosmo. Why, even now, after her death, he imagines she sits on his lap. Now, how can I cure him of that?
Why, fight fire with fire. If he imagines she sits on his lap, let her sit. 10, 12 hours at a time. That'll do it.
Is that enough?
Should be enough for any man.
And do you really think that would cure him?
It'll either cure him or kill him.
But while all this is going on, what should I do?
Why don't you visit your mother for 2 or 3 months?
You know, Roger, that's strange. My husband's been suggesting that for years. Somehow you do remind me of my husband.
It's just your imagination.
No, there's something about you, Roger. Why do you fan yourself so? I don't feel warm.
It's getting hotter all the time.
Topsy, she's catching on. Distract her.
Yes, of course. Mrs. Topper, when you gaze into this crystal ball, don't take your eyes off the crystal ball. Keep looking at the crystal ball.
Why?
Pretty, isn't it?
Topsy, you've got to do better than that.
Roger, if I look into this crystal ball, could you locate my husband for me? There's nothing I like better than coming face to face with him now.
Would you mind looking at your side of the crystal? I feel much safer with the table between us. Shall we go on?
Roger, I think you're about through.
Oh, no. This is only the beginning.
Imposter! Get out of my clothes.
Yes,
I'll
this is the beginning of the end.
Heavens, Roger, poor
Topper. Oh, I thought there was something very strange about this. Take the fan away from your face, Cosmo Topper.
Mr. Topper. My little friend is up to his tricks again.
Cosmo, you and I will have words when we get home.
Oh, Vinnie, you know I'll never get a chance to use mine.
Mrs. Topper, don't be hasty. Remember, your husband says he's a victim of unbridled spirits. You must bring him back here at the stroke of 12. And I'll take the spirit out of his hide.
Say, neighbor, if you too would like to be out of this world come midnight, just follow the advice of this old soothsayer. Have yourself a snack of golden brown post toasties covered with rich, cold milk. Man, it's really something special. Now, if you don't happen to have any post toasties on hand, I'll tell you what to do. Tomorrow, ask your grocer for the large economy-sized package. Then you can have them at breakfast, lunch, or snack time. Yes, any time you want a refreshing treat. You'll find post toasties have a grand flavor, and that they stay toasty brown and crunchy from the first to the last bite. That makes for mighty good eating, friends. Post toasties are good for you, too, you know. They are rich in food energy and supply important food values of the whole grain. So be sure to buy them, friends. You'll like them.
We toast them crisp, we toast them light. You can tell by the taste, we toast them. They're a tasty treat, so good to eat. Delicious and light from toasting. Oh, toasty.
And you know what? We like them.
Thank you.
Stop fidgeting, Cosmo. The Roger will be ready for us in a moment. It's almost 12 o'clock now.
Well, it's probably never reaching 12. Melvina, would you please face the clock?
What, like this?
Perfect. Now. Must have been an 8-day clock.
Don't be a child, Cosmo. Now, this is for your own good. Just imagine, for only $100, the Roger will drive away the spirits of George and Marion.
Wouldn't you take 50 and just drive George away?
Cosmo! Uh-oh, here comes Princess Arlene. There's a girl with an interesting background.
Not a bad foreground, either.
The Roger awaits you, Mr. Topper. Will you follow me?
Ah, those magic words.
Oh, run along, Cosmo, or this will make a new man of you. This is your big opportunity.
Mr. Topper, are you coming with me?
I wouldn't miss this opportunity for the world.
I'll be waiting right here.
Here we are, Mr. Topper. You will sit right here on this small chair.
Won't I be crowding you?
I go now.
Say, where is Roger?
Fear not. He will take care of you in a minute.
Wait. Don't leave me alone here. Don't go. Why does that only work with George? Now what?
Don't be frightened, Toffee. It's only us.
Sure, we came to help you. Here we are. Now look, Topper, we're right with you. See, no matter
fine,
what happens,
you are.
We'll be right behind you.
Fine, that's where you usually are when I take the licking.
Oh, I wish that guy would stop kicking that gong around.
Here comes the Roger.
Ah, Mr. Topper. This is the moment I have been anxiously awaiting. You have no idea with what pleasure I anticipate working on you.
Pardon me, but I think your fangs are showing. Mr. Roger, wouldn't we be saving a lot of trouble if I had just introduced you to my spirit?
Oh, no, we don't contact spirits that way, Mr. Topper. First, I must prepare my subject. Then I put him under my psychic influence. And then we strike sympathetic thought waves.
Oh, you fellas always do it the hard way.
Mr. Topper, have you no desire to see an astral body?
I'd be delighted to see the princess again.
I see you taking a passing fancy to the princess.
Topper wouldn't pass up anything that fancy.
I suppose you would.
Now I'm going to put you under my psychic power. Look in my eyes. You are going to sleep. Sleep. Sleep.
Wait.
What for?
I never go to sleep without reading first.
Sleep. Sleep, sleep.
Just a moment.
What is it now?
In case this works, will you set the alarm for 8 o'clock?
Mr. Topper, you must concentrate. Look into my eyes. Now, that's it. Don't let your eyes leave mine. Look.
George, do you think you can really hypnotize Topper?
That old phony couldn't hypnotize anybody.
If you look into my eyes, your will begins to leave you. Your thoughts become subject to mine. You're coming under my spell. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Soon you'll be completely in my power. I will command, and you will obey.
Yes, Master.
George, do you think Topper's hypnotized?
Well, let's stick a pin in him, find out.
Oh, no. No, I've got a better idea. I'll kiss him. That ought to do it.
What? No reaction.
He's either hypnotized or dead.
You are completely under my spell. I will prove this to you. Listen carefully and repeat after me. I am a fool. I am a big fool. Do you follow me?
Yes, Master.
Very well. Then say, I am going to pay you $1,000. Now repeat that.
I am a fool, a big fool. I'm going to pay you $1,000.
Yes, I've destroyed your will. You will stay this way until I snap my fingers. You are in my power. I can do whatever I wish with you.
He sounds like he's going to foreclose the mortgage.
Mock me, will you? Scoff at my mystic powers. Play tricks on me. Flirt with the princess, will you?
Here comes trouble.
That gives me an idea. You think you have a way with women, do you? So you are a wolf, eh?
That's my topsy.
Then howl like a wolf. Get down on all fours and howl like a wolf. Quite a Casanova, Mr. Topper. Let's see if you were always so smooth with the ladies. We will take you back to your first date. Remember, This is your first date. Now, how old are you, Mr. Topper?
4.
No, no. No, Mr. Topper. Let's set your age at 12.
Honey, do you think we better step in now?
No. No, George, this is getting interesting.
You are now 12 years old. I imagine you as a bookworm. Your head buried in a book. Month after month, studying the facts of life.
Yes, I always read Esquire.
Now you're on a date. I suppose you borrowed your father's car.
No, Master. We ran out of gas on the front porch.
Now you kiss her.
Yes, Master, I kiss her.
Now you kiss her again.
No, I can't.
Why not?
I'm still scraping the bubble gum off my face.
Tell me, great lover. I suppose she thrilled when you put your arm around her?
No, Master, she shivered at my touch.
She shivered at your touch?
Yes, I forgot to put down the ice cream cone.
Enough of this nonsense. Now for your punishment. Look at me, Mr. Topper. What do you dislike most in the world?
Crooning.
So you dislike crooning, eh? Well, Mr. Topper, croon! Croon like Bing Crosby.
When the blue of the night, boo-boo, meets the gold of the day, boo-boo.
Oh, this is awful. We've got to do something now.
That's right, darling. The punishment he's taking.
He's taking? The punishment we're taking? I'm going to snap my fingers right now.
Well, what? What was I doing?
Why, the spell is broken. I don't understand this.
Topsy, he hypnotized me.
And brother, did you talk?
You took unfair advantage of me, Roger. Well, it's time my spirit dealt with you.
Your spirit, huh? Do you think I believe in that nonsense? Spirit, bah!
I'm sure you're in for a rude awakening. In just a moment, I'll ask my spirit to materialize. You'll come face to face with him.
Ha ha, that's a joke. Why, if you can do that, I would kiss this business goodbye. I would even kiss your wife goodbye.
George, Marion, do your stuff. There they are. There they are. Materialized right before your eyes. Now what?
Cromwell! Cromwell!
Be sure to tune in Topper next week when Topper finds the road to heaven paved with good intentions. Remember, Topper next week, same time, same station. This is Ron Rawson saying goodnight for the makers of those bubbly, light, crisper cornflakes, Post Toasties.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
The Adventures of Topper, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC broadcast from September 6th, 1945. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. And now on to one of the better known from radio's past. It's Lucille Ball and Richard Denning and the show My Favorite Husband. At the point of this next episode, it had been on CBS Radio for 2 years, drawing almost 11 million listeners a week, Friday nights at 8:30. This episode, called Liz Learns to Swim, from June 11th, 1950.
Starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. As we look in on the Coopers tonight, summertime is fast approaching, and Liz has roused herself from spring fever long enough to go on a shopping spree for some beach clothes.
Katie, come here a minute, will you?
Yes, Mrs. Cooper, what is it?
I want you to take a look at my new sundress. How do you like it?
Is that it?
Yes, this is what they're showing this year.
Really? That's what they were hiding last year.
Oh, Katie, how do you like it?
Well, it's very nice. How do you keep it up without any straps?
Well, it's a new theory, Katie. It's held up by the wind from men whistling at you. Well, Katie, see all my new play clothes?
My goodness, did you buy all those this morning?
Yes, I want to look good for George. He's going to see a lot of me this summer.
He's not the only one.
I even bought one of those new French bathing suits. It's there on the bed.
Well, I don't see it. Here's your slacks, pedal pushers, your beach robe, and this little green handkerchief.
Well, that's funny. Oh, here it is. No wonder you couldn't see the bathing suit. It was under the handkerchief.
Are you really going to wear that?
I will if George will let me.
Oh, he will. Men like women in scanty bathing suits.
If the women aren't their wives. A man will admire a scanty suit on a blonde at the beach, but let his wife put on that same suit and he says,
You're not going out like that, are you?
How true. Oh, I forgot. The mail came a while ago. Here it is.
Thanks. Anything for me?
No.
Oh, I never get any. Oh, here's a letter for me.
Really?
Yeah, see? Occupant, 321 Bundy Drive. I think I'll change my name to Occupant Cooper, and then I'll get as much mail as George does.
There's one there addressed to Mr. and Mrs. George Cooper.
Oh, good. Where is it? I'm entitled to read every other line.
Here.
Oh, no.
Well, what's the matter?
It's from Weeping Willow Ranch. You know, that dude ranch where we spent our vacation last year.
Are you going there again?
Over my dead body. Oh, Katie, it's awful. 1 week there and you understand why the willows are weeping. The planned fun starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. You bound out of bed and run into breakfast.
You did that?
Are you kidding? I crawled out of bed and was led into breakfast.
How was the food?
Oh, not food, Katie. Chuck.
Chuck.
Yes, and they couldn't have thought of a better name for it. Oh, Katie. George must have written asking about reservations again this year. This is an answer saying they can take us.
Oh.
I don't want to go there. I want to go to the beach with the Atterberries.
Well, maybe you can talk Mr. Cooper into it.
Why, Katie, I'd never try to talk George into anything. We'll discuss it calmly. Examine the best features of both places, and then go to the one we think is best, the beach. Well, did you like your dinner, George, little baby honey?
Yes, dear, it was fine.
Are you comfortable in that chair, George? Would you like another pillow behind your back?
No, thanks.
Oh, it's no trouble at all. I'll just get another pillow and then...
Liz, you've got so many pillows behind my back now, my head's between my knees.
Oh. Well, shall I get you a pair of slippers?
Yes, I'll wear them on my hands.
What? Oh, you already have your slippers on, don't you, dear?
Okay, Liz, what have you done?
Nothing, dear.
What are you planning to do?
Nothing.
Look, I know all the signals. You're fattening me up for the kill. Now, let's have it.
I have nothing on my mind.
Really?
Absolutely. Go ahead, go to that lousy Weeping Willow Ranch.
Well, I gather from this that we heard from the ranch. Did you open the letter?
Yes, it came addressed to both of us.
What did it say?
I only read every other line.
Come on, Liz. What did every other line say?
It said, Dear Saddle Pal, in reply to your letter of, delighted to have you dig your spurs into, our new manager and courteous waitress. Rates this year are $20 private cottage or $15 if you share it with one of our new cow ponies. Signed, the old wrangler.
Very clever. Now, I suppose we're going to have our yearly debate about where to spend the vacation.
Okay, debate. The question is, resolved that we are not going to spend our vacation at that stinky old Weeping Willow Ranch. You take a negative. Go ahead.
Madam Chairman, my worthy opponent and friend, I like the stinky old Weeping Willow Ranch. I think it's one of the nicest
Time's up.
Of all...
Now for the affirmative.
Now, wait a minute.
Oh, let's not talk about it, George. Let's just not go.
Can you suggest a better place?
Yes, I'd like to go to the beach.
The beach?
Oh, come now. You must have heard of it. The Atterberries are going, and I thought it would be fun if we'd go, too.
Well, but there's nothing to do at the beach.
Oh,
everybody covers themselves with oil and lies in the sun all day, slowly turning so they'll get done all over. Nothing but a big sandy barbecue pit.
I suppose you never heard of swimming.
Well, I have, but I didn't think you did. The closest you ever came to the water was when a dog came up to you and shook himself. You don't even know how to swim.
I'll learn.
I've heard that song before.
Oh, but, George, the swimming suits are so cute this year, and the beach clothes are so gay and colorful. And
so that's it.
They got little pleats in them all around.
Liz, I'll make a bargain with you. If you learn to swim, and I mean really swim, before vacation time, we'll go to the beach.
Oh, George, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
But if you don't, we'll go back to the Weeping Willow Ranch.
Don't worry. I'll learn. I'll learn.
And don't buy any beach clothes until this is all settled.
George, even after I learn to swim and you agree to go to the beach, I'm not going to buy a thing.
What?
I mean it. Because I love you so much, I'll struggle along on just what I've got in my closet now.
Mrs. Cooper, what are you doing in your bathing suit?
I'm going to take my swimming lesson.
You found a teacher?
Yes, Ralph Wood, the oldest boy from next door. He's the high school champion. Oh, there he is. I'll get it.
Good morning, Mrs. Cooper.
Oops.
Did I get you out of the shower?
No, it's all right, Mr. Wood. This is my bathing suit. You don't have to stand with your back to me.
That's a bathing suit?
Yes.
Hmm. Well, are you all ready for your lesson?
Yes, where's your son?
Oh, he couldn't make it, but I've arranged for you to take a lesson from the person who taught him everything he knows.
Who's that?
Me.
Oh. Well, where should we go? Out to the club?
Oh, there's no need to go way out there. I can teach you right in your living room.
Really? Well, come on, let's go around through the kitchen and come in at the shallow end.
You can learn very easily if you'll just remember that swimming is merely a matter of applied physics.
Oh.
You see, when a body is immersed in water, it displaces its own weight, and by means of propulsion of a given direction, the water that is displaced in front is found to be at the back. This is known as swimming.
Isn't there a simpler way of doing it?
Well, you can jump into the water and move your arms and legs.
Well, that's more like it. Are you sure you can teach me to swim here?
Certainly, it's applied physics. When a body is immersed in water...
I know, I know. But will it work if a body is immersed in a hardwood floor?
Why not?
That's a fair question.
You learn to swim in the living room. When you get into the water, you simply apply what you've learned. It'll be the same thing, only wetter.
Wetter, yes.
Now, lie down on the floor.
Okay. Now, what do I do?
Now, first, bring the right arm over the head and forward and down.
Okay.
Fine. Now, do the same thing with the left arm.
Okay. Ouch!
What's the matter?
This ocean has splinters in it.
That's too bad. All right. Now, while you're moving your arms, you are kicking at the same time.
All right.
Yeah.
Ouch!
More splinters?
No, hard water.
Well, lift your feet a little. Now, try again.
How does this look?
Oh, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
I forgot to tell you to breathe.
That's okay. I went ahead and breathed anyway.
No, I don't mean that. In swimming, you breathe a different way than you ordinarily do.
How? Through your ears?
No. You're supposed to breathe when your head is out of the water.
You know, I'll bet I would have found that out anyway.
Well, now, let's try it again and put everything together.
All right, here I go.
Oh, fine. You're doing just fine.
Yeah. Hey, look at me. I swam clear across the living room.
Yes.
If the current hadn't been against me, I'd have made it into the dining room.
Congratulations, Mrs. Cooper. You're a wonderful pupil.
You mean I know how to swim?
Certainly you know how to swim.
Gosh, that wasn't hard at all. What have I been afraid
afraid of all these years. Come on back tomorrow, Mr. Wood, and I'll dive off the mantelpiece.
Hi, honey, I'm home.
Hi, George, baby. Give me a kiss.
What's new? What did you do today?
Oh, nothing exciting. I had a manicure, learned how to swim, marketed a little.
Just a minute. Learned how to swim?
Yes. Isn't it wonderful, George? Now we can go to the beach this summer.
Do you expect me to believe you learned how to swim since this morning?
Yes. Mr. Wood said I have a natural talent for it. He gave me a lesson, and I just swam all over the place.
How far did you swim?
Oh, about as far as from here to the dining room.
By yourself?
All by myself.
Hey, that's great, Liz. You weren't even afraid, huh?
Afraid? I was as calm as though I'd been swimming right here in my own living room.
No kidding.
That's right.
I'm proud of you. Was the water cold out at the club?
I didn't notice it.
I'll get it.
Okay, I'll go see if dinner's ready.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Cooper. This is Benjamin Wood.
Well, hello, Mr. Wood. I understand you gave Liz a swimming lesson today.
Oh, that's right.
How'd she do?
Oh, wonderfully. I called to see if she got all the splinters out.
Splinters?
Yeah, she picked up a big one.
Where?
Right between the piano and the divan.
Say, what are you talking... Say, where did she take this lesson anyway?
In your living room. It was sort of a dry run.
Uh-huh. Well, she's fine, Mr. Wood.
Well, that's good. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Liz!
Dinner's almost ready, George, and boy, am I hungry.
Splashing around in the pool must have given you an appetite.
Swimming is what did it.
That water is exhilarating, isn't it?
Swimming certainly is. You should have seen me, George. I was like a little seal.
Sounds more like a little lion.
A little sea lion?
No. No, just plain lion. That was Mr. Wood on the phone, Liz.
Oh.
How many splinters did you average per mile?
No, I didn't get very many splinters.
I'm certainly surprised at the way you deceived me, Liz.
I didn't. I never said I was in the water. I asked Mr. Wood if I knew how to swim, and he said yes, and I can. There's nothing to it.
All right, that's good enough for me.
It is?
Sure. I'll meet you out at the club tomorrow afternoon, and if you can swim the length of the pool, we'll go to the beach for our vacation.
Oh, give me more time, George. I've only had one lesson.
Oh, no. No, you said you knew how to swim. Well, tomorrow we'll find out. I'll meet you at the club pool at 3:30.
All right, I'll be there. And I'll jump in that pool and swim if it's the last thing I do. Oh, why do I say things like that?
As we return to the Coopers, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and all is still. All that is except Liz. From the way she's thrashing about the bed, it looks like she's having a nightmare about swimming.
Stroke. Stroke. Stroke.
Well, what's the matter? Who did that? Oh, ouch. Hey, Liz.
Stroke.
Oh, Liz.
Huh? Oh, George, save me. I'm going under.
Oh, take it easy or you're
joking. Save me. Save me.
Oh, Liz, you got me around the neck.
Help. Help. We're going down. Fight your way to the surface. Huh? Huh? Oh, George, that was an awful dream. I dreamt I was in swimming, and how'd we get down here?
We disappeared under the covers for the third time and sank slowly to the floor.
Really?
Let's swim to the surface and go back to sleep, huh?
Oh, gosh, I'm afraid to. You go to sleep, George. I'll be right back.
Liz, where are you going?
Into the dressing room. I want to see if I have a nightgown with water wings in it.
I could, girl. Is George here yet?
No. Oh, it's no use, Iris. I'll never make it. I don't even know what I'm doing here.
Chin up, girl. I brought something with me.
What?
Look.
A pair of water wings. Oh, I thought of that, but it's no good. George would see them. They're white, and my bathing suit is black.
Let's put them under your bathing suit.
Under my bathing suit?
Yeah, then he'd never guess.
Won't I look kind of lumpy?
Well, let's see where we could put them. Oh, I know. You're a little sway back.
What?
Now, look, I don't have time for false modesty.
Sway back, yes.
We'll just put the water wings under your suit in the middle of your back, like this. There. And then we'll blow them up and you'll get in the water before George gets here. He won't be able to see them.
Well, it might work.
I can't even see them.
Well, they're not blown up yet. Oh, yeah. How are we going to blow them up? It can only be done by a midget or a Ubangi. Well, there's one idea gone.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Come with me.
Where?
The gas station in the parking lot. They have an air hose.
Now, that might work. Come on.
As long as you stay in the water, George can't tell a thing.
This is the first time I've gone to a gas station to get my air checked.
Good afternoon, ladies. Can I help you?
Can we use your air hose?
Certainly. Have a flat?
Sort of.
Where's the car?
Car?
Yeah, with a flat tire. What were you planning to do? Take the air over a mouthful at a time?
No, just let us use the air hose and thanks.
Oh, yeah, go take care of that car.
I'll be right back.
Quick, Iris. Turn around. Let me get this hose down the back of your bathing suit. Oh, it's cold.
Hey, what are you doing?
Go away.
What are you doing?
Look, just leave us alone. We're not hurting anybody.
Hey, look at her back. It's all swollen.
This is fine, Iris. Put the hose away. And...
I'll get a doctor.
Oh, never mind. It's too late now. Come on, Liz.
The boys will never believe this.
Well, it was a good try, Iris.
Hey, wait a minute.
Oh, look now, no more bright ideas, please.
We've been fools, Liz. We can get George on a technicality.
How?
He said you had to swim the length of the pool.
Yeah?
He didn't say anything about not wearing something to help you. We could have put the water wings on the outside.
Now she thinks of it.
I know. Rudolph has a life jacket he bought at the surplus store. I'll go and get it.
Okay, go on.
And you stall George till I get back, and I'll go as fast as I can.
Well, hurry, Iris. You're all that stands between me and Weeping Willow Ranch.
Hi, Liz. All ready for the big swimming test?
Oh, hello, George.
Sorry I'm late, but Atterbury kept me talking about a big account.
Oh, that's all right. You haven't seen Iris, have you?
No. Well, let's get this over with. Come on, dive in.
No, now, don't push me. I'll get in a minute.
Well, why in a minute?
Well, I'm just hungry, that's why. I'd like something to eat first. I don't like to swim on an empty stomach.
But if you eat something, you can't swim for an hour.
Yeah.
Liz, are you stalling?
Stalling? Heavens, no.
Well, then what are you waiting for? Now get in the pool and start swimming.
No, George, don't. I'm not ready.
Woo-hoo, Liz, girl.
I'm ready.
There you are, Liz.
Oh, thanks, Iris.
Hey, what's going on? You can't wear a life jacket.
Can't I?
Put your arms in here, Liz.
There. Fasten it, will you, Iris?
Liz, I'm warning you, this isn't going to count.
You said swim the length of the pool. You did not say how.
Now, look.
Here I go. Whee!
Oh, look at her go.
What a low-down trick.
Well, George, she did fill her part of the bargain.
Well, I guess she did. Well, if she cares that much about going to the beach, I guess we can go. I'll teach her to swim while we're there.
Hey, look at me! Look at me! I'm swimming!
Okay, Liz, you win.
Hey, watch this! I'm a whale!
Would you look at that? She's floating on her back and blowing water in the air.
Get to go to the beach, George?
Okay, we'll go.
Oh, boy, this jacket's wonderful.
I know, I've seen them. All you do is pull that little string on the side and they inflate.
What little string?
What little string?
Liz, we didn't pull a string. You've really been swimming.
How do you like that, George? I've really been swimming right here in the deep water. Deep water! Ah! Ah! Ah!
Ah! My Favorite Husband has been presented through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
My Favorite Husband, on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast relayed by Armed Forces Radio from June 11th, 1950. And that wraps up this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.